So last week we spoke about Fani Gumaris in Shas. This time what I wanted to do is speak about the history of Purim Torah, history of how Purim was, the kind of Purim humor in yeshivas. We're going to focus quite a bit on Purim humor in yeshivas, though also a little bit of Purim humor outside yeshivas. So we're going to go actually all the way from the Gemara, talk about different examples we have of Purim humor, and I'll also give out some stuff to do with it as we go through. So, one of the first references we have to Purim humor is in fact in the Gemara. The Gemara in Sanhedrin is talking about in the seventh parak, it's talking about the Issa of Molech, and it says that Molech, again, is when someone passes their child through Avodah Zarah. It doesn't sound so Purim-like at the moment. And it says that you need the way you need to, again, it's talking about the exact details, again, quite a little bit gory, but you need to pass, to be over the Issa of Molech, have to pass the child through a certain level of fire. So it's discussing what level of fire is considered is the right level to be over Molech, and Rava says k'mashvarta de Puria. Now the Gaonim discuss what does mashvarta de Puria mean, and one of the Gaonim, or in the Tshuva Gaonim, says that what mashvarta de Puria means is that the yeshiva students would make a like model of Haman a few days before Purim, like 4 or 5 days before Purim, and hang it up. And then on Purim, they would throw it into a bonfire and burn it and like dance around it. So that is what Mashvarta de Puria is. So that is actually one of the first mentions we have of Minhagim of Simcha on Purim. However, what we're going to focus on primarily, rather than Minhagim of Simcha, is actually things that they people wrote. Namely, we're going to look at various different parodies and skits that were written over the ages. As you can see, a pretty good pile here. I was just going to pass them around as we go through each one. Various different parodies and skits that are written over the ages for Purim. We're going to look at about 4 or 5 different examples. So, this page is from the Matzah Vitri. Matzah Vitri is actually one of the earliest Sidurim written. Matzah Vitri includes a lot of the was written by a Talmud of Rashi, and it includes a lot of the halachos going through the tefillah, etc. And here, and often it will include like a lot of piyutim and things that are written. And here, Ma'ariv for Purim, it has an invented satirical piyut for Purim. So if we, like if you start at the beginning, like, Lel Shikurim Huze Alayla Lismach B'Yayin HaTov V'Legila Purim Al Shema Pur Nikro B'Gila Yizkor Lanu B'Kriyas HaMegila. If we jump like a little bit, it just kind of... the next line. Belaila hazeh yishkaru kol yitzurim lizalcher chok asher nigva v'purim. Again, if people recognize the style of piyutim, like this is just basically taking the style of a piyut and writing so about Purim. It gets a little bit absurd sometimes. For example, like just lines that don't really make any sense. If you jump like to the sixth line, it says Purim lo yikach neshech v'tarbis asher yishte yain michovis. Which is like totally meaningless. Like Purim, you can't take interest, but you should drink wine. It's just like whatever. It's just basically very poetic, taking the style of a piyut and using it and turning it into a whole long song about Purim. However, what we're going to see, one of the major things that were done, again, really maybe piyutim is maybe harder for people to connect to because we're not as familiar with piyutim. I don't know what communities where people daven, but for example, in my community, we say a lot of piyutim, like more than even that are printed in Maksa, that you say like piyutim the whole time. They're very marked, whereas generally a lot of communities don't say piyutim as much. However, one, I think a style that people definitely will be able to connect to is the idea of fake gemaras that were written over the ages. Namely, this piyut is from about 900 years ago. From about 700 years ago, there started to be the writing of fake gemaras for Purim. Maseches Purim. The first one we have was written by Rav Kolonimus Ben Kolonimus. We mentioned the Kolonimus family once. They're a very, very important family in the community of Ashkenaz. So for example, in the whole story of Unasana Tokef, when we have the story that Rav Amnon Mimitz was said Unasana Tokef and then died and came in a dream to one of the Kolonimus family who wrote down the piyut Unasana Tokef. They came, again we mentioned one of the shirin, they came from Italy and were very important in building Tara in Ashkenaz. So Rav Kolonimus Ben Kolonimus wrote a fake Gemara. I'm just going to find his one, we've got a few here. Pardon? No, that's just the name of the family. I believe the name. Pardon? No, the family name was Kolonimus, and it happened to be that also some of them themselves are named Colonels as well.
As in, Pechlodos literally means the fam in the
I think
family.
So, I believe so, I believe so. The Pachal. I don't know, I don't remember. I don't remember.
Is he in Jaffe's one?
Pardon?
Jaffe.
So anyway, this, we're going to go, here we're going to look at, if you go to, on the left column, it's actually no. We're going to the bottom of the right hand column. Arbaisrei Sudos. Yeah, I don't have enough for one for everyone. Okay, so we're going from Arbaisrei Sudos. Tana. It was taught. Rav Shichri. I can't now actually cut it off a bit. I think it's Rav Shichri Omar. Esum va'arbo mini Sudos nemru lemoshin b'sinai v'kulam chayav adam la'asayim b'purim ve'elu kishti u'mulaisas v'turteli rakikim v'turteli etc. It goes to a list of 24 different types of food. Tana hosifu aleim halbivos v'hamkruni v'hakrishuni k'divrei Rabbi Achlan. Rabbi Raf, so I'm sure you get the names. Ein pochs in mehen avol mosifin aleim. Charvoina hasaris emer. You with me? You follow me? We're like 10 lines, we're like 7 lines down on the left side. Charvoina hasaris emer. Ein pochs in meeser v'ein mosifin al esrim v'arbo k'neged esrim v'arbo matnes kuna inami k'neged esrim v'arbo svarim. Of Tanakh. V'chein ha'yo charvoina emer afilo onish v'yisrael le'yifzchu lo me'asar min imazonis k'neged asar az b'nei homon. Eboilehu, lishti omahu, mi shiur nosnu chachavim, mi shiur nosnu chachavim, elo Rav Shasin omer, ein shiur lishtia, Rav Achlan omer, yesh shiur lishtia. Masiv Rav Shachron, v'hoksiv v'hashtia kados eino neis, oh, so obviously there is no shiur. Kashia, le Rav Achlan, kashia. Boy hasach, this is my favorite part. Boy hasach, ma'o limzog ha'yayin im ha'mayim v'purim. Can you dilute the wine with water on Purim? Rabbi Sachron omer osur, v'hot nan ma'arvin l'nozir b'yayin el Yisrael b'truma. What does that actually mean? Anyone know where that's actually from? Ma'arvin l'nozir b'yayin, anyone know? So about making Erev. Are you like, for an Erev, if you make an Erev Tchumen, you need to have food placed in a certain area. And the discussion is, can you use food that's also, namely, could I use food that's treif, and is it food that I can eat? So it says that even so, you can make an Erev for a Nozir with wine and you struggle with Tchumen, because a Nozir could revoke his Naziris and be able to drink the wine. Again, the wine has to be stuff that he can drink, but because he could revoke his Naziris, therefore he's able to use the wine of Naziris for this, and the truma, you can go back on calling something truma, you can call other food truma. Therefore, you're allowed to use it for an Erev. So it goes, my love, ma'arvin mozgin. So, oh, doesn't it say ma'arvin yayin? Therefore, ma'arvin means you can mix wine with water. My ma'arvin yayin, lovon, b'yayin adom. My time of collection is yishtachach taras Erev ma'arv. Saying, basically playing on Hilchas Erevin and saying you're allowed to dilute water and wine. This is the first Maseches Purim. There are a lot of different versions of Maseches Purim. This was, if we see like a few different ones over here, pass another one. This is from a little bit later on.
How are you giving these out?
Pardon?
Why are you alternating sides through that?
Pardon?
Why are you alternating
sides? So this is a Mishnah at the beginning of this next Maseches Purim called Bishlosha Asar. B'yom Shlosha Asar Ba'adar Mavarin Es Hamayim Min Abatim U'min Achatzeros. But you need to destroy water from your place before Purim. The Gemara asks, how do we know what's the makar for this? This is a good one. Masayele Rav Yena. The Amar Rav Yena. Lo nen shu dora mabul v'mayim, ela al shoshosu mayim v'purim. The dora mabul will punish water because they drank water on Purim. Shenema. V'chol machshavos libo rak ra kol ayom. V'ein ra ela mayim. Therefore, it's because they were drinking water. That's how they got punished with water. Tani nami hachi kol ashosu mayim v'purim. Ein lo chelek lenam abo. Shenema. V'yorev ha'om im Moshe. V'yemru tznu lonu mayim v'nishte. The people argued, Moshe, they said, give us water. We know the Mishnah Sanhedrin says that the people of Dara Minbar didn't have a chelek on Mabah. Mechalal, tim big shuyayin, hoyalayim chelek on Mabah. Had they asked for wine, they would have had a chelek in Olam Habah. V'chule, it carries on and on. Pardon? They're very, very clever. They got better. The article I read about them, he said that the first one of Colonimus and Colonimus, that was the best Maseches Purim, and none of the other ones were as good. But I think they actually get better as we go through time. A little bit like wine, actually. This is one of my favorites. Here is a great one. Pass this round. This is one for a little bit later. I'm going to go from the section which starts with Tanya, which is on the right-hand column, about 8 lines down. Tanya. Yeah, people with me? Hey, Talmidim Hoyeloy Lo Rav Kada Saba. Rav Chamron, Rav Shachron, Rav Gargaron, Rav Bakbuk, V'Rav Oshuma. Hu Hayomone Shivchon. Yeah, this is playing on the Mishnah in Perkei Avos of Yechem Ezekah at 5 Talmidim. Rav Chamron, Bor Sid She'ena Ma'abe Tipa. Tana, Im Hoya Rav Chamron, Shose Yayin, V'Tipo Shel Yayin, Notif Al Adamo, Hoyim Shateach Al Oretz V'Gomo V'Fiv. And he's playing on the Enuma Adavi Tipa of Torah, playing on the wine. Rav Shachron Ashrei El Adato. Tanya, B'chol Yom Hoya Rav Shachron Shose Yayin Yudvav Lugin V'ho Yotzi Mipiv Dvorim Shlo Hoya V'lo Nivru V'ho Kol Ha Mishtomim V'omrim Baruch Shazu Yotzar Baruch Shazu Godal. Just do one more. Rav Gargon Chosid Hoya Shekol Yimois Hashona Hoya Otzer Yayin Larov K'deili Hiyos Lo Dai Lekai Mitzvah Shtiyaz Yayin V'Purim V'chole. And we're just going to do the final one of the Maseches Purim. And then we'll move on to a different section. This is another great one here. Starting Tanin Amihachi. Tanin Amihachi on the left hand column, about four paragraphs up. Tanin Amihachi. Kashahaya Rav Shachron Shochev al Mitosa Belel Purim, Hayatola Node Shal Yayin Lamalam Mitoso, Faya Notif Me'elav al Pinek of Cotton Lasoch Piv. What is this playing on? When he would lie down, he would have a flask of wine above his bed, and it would roll it, and the wine would fall into his mouth. Just playing on. David HaMelech having the harp above his bed. It says that David HaMelech had a harp above his bed when he gets to sleep. Vod Miley is Sarah Hayabo. Shahyo Mafrish is Asma Shifas Yomim Kodim Purim. Opponents Asma Mikol Asoka, Vitzorche Beza, Vyashose Bechol Zayin Yomim. Yosef Michdei Midosa, Kadila Hargal Asma Vodis Yom Purim Bishtia. He would get, again, playing on the like Yom Kippur Purim thing every day, that 7 days before you'd get used to the Avodah of Yom Kippur. So 7 days before Purim, got used to the Avodah of Purim by drinking to get used to, get ready for the Avodah of Purim. Yeah.
No.
These are not. These are like, I don't know if they're the length of Gomorrah, but they're kind of. They are kind of long. They're kind of
a couple of.
Yeah. Definitely. They're kind of. I know a lot of different versions have been made. A lot of modern versions as well. Yeah.
These are all by the Kalonis.
No. These are, sorry. These ones are a bit later. The Kalonis family is like in the 14th century. These are like in the 17th, 18th century.
Are these the same?
They often what they would do is they would print the same one, but like. Add in different sections, change different things, etc. This is a very, very common form. This, in fact, has carried on to this day. People writing fake Gemaras. Now, another thing people wrote a fake version of was a fake Kiddush. People would often make a fake Kiddush. That was like a Minagos in Yeshiva. So before you start the Purim Siddur, make a fake Kiddush. So here is one fake Kiddush that they would make. And basically what you do is you'd start and just kind of like flow words from Pesukim into Pesukim into Pesukim, and it just goes nuts. So, this is one version of it. Yom Hashishi, Vayechulu Hashamayim Mesaprim Kavoda Mole Olam Meshors of Shelem Zelaze Ayei Sore Shtecha Kigefen Pariyo Beisecha Odeh Lichosela. Now I'll go through it once again. Yom Hashishi, Vayechulu Hashamayim Mesaprim Kavoda Mole Olam Meshors of Shelem Zelaze Ayei Sore Shtecha Kigefen Pariyo Beisecha Odeh Lichosela. Basically, it's just very, very clever. It's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. There are a lot of different versions of this. So that was another thing that was done, was a fake Kiddush. Now, just before, we're going to talk about one final thing. We're going to now talk a little bit about what happened in yeshivas. Namely, a lot of this was done in yeshivas. We're going to say two further things that were done specifically in yeshivas. One, which is very interesting, was, and this goes, this links to the general way yeshivas used to run. Yeshivas have changed. Obviously, yeshivas are old institutions. They've been different forms of yeshivas all the way from the Amoraim. Even earlier, and there were times when yeshivas were officially linked to the community, namely the community had an internal tax system and part of that went to the yeshiva, etc. And one of the agreements was, in the city of Worms, they had the agreement that the community was obligated, as part of like the taxation system, they were obligated to provide a certain amount of wine to the yeshiva for Purim. Namely, the yeshiva people would write a list of all the balabatim, and based on how much money they had, they would be obligated to give a certain amount of wine. This is a genuine thing, and they genuinely had to give this amount of wine to yeshivas. So don't tell that to Shosh, she won't like it. In Germany, that's a whole interesting question historically, what actually happened in yeshivas in terms of getting drunk. There were times when very few people got drunk, and it was very rare. Other times when it was different. However, one of the most famous minhagim in yeshivas of Purim was the idea of a Purim Rav. Namely, each year, and this is a very, very big thing, each year there would always be like a competition, like who's going to be the Purim Rav? And what would happen is, people would one person in the yeshiva would be chosen that on either on Shabbos Zohar or on Purim, or sometimes even on Shabbos after Purim, he would get to mimic the Rabbonim, either the specific Rabbonim in the yeshiva, or make up like a whole drosha. So namely, he would like dress up as a Rosh Yeshiva, and he would like give it like the equivalent of like a Sheikh Lali and just like say absolute rubbish, like whatever, just like mimicking all the style and all the different things that went on. My favorite story about this is, first of all, an interesting point is Reb Chaim Volozhin actually said that the story is that Reb Chaim Volozhin wanted there to be this institution of Purim Rav, because there was actually a way of finding out the flaws in the yeshiva in like a light-hearted way. People normally wouldn't come forward, but in this context, it'd be a way of people pointing out like what's wrong, who's boring, who's interesting, whatever. My favorite story is, in Volozhin once, there was the Purim Rav was someone who later on would be quite a big Rav, Mordechai Gimpel, and he God was the Purim Rav, and he went up to say his drasha. And he starts saying his drasha, and he says like this. So he goes in like the standard form of like a shir. Like he says, the Rambam says this, but there's the Yerushalmi which says otherwise, and like how do we answer it? And he starts giving a whole pilpul all over Shas and gives a brilliant pilpul like to answer it. And like the Talmidim kind of at the beginning like all excited because he's doing like all the manners and stuff, but then they like, he's actually giving like a shir, like this isn't funny, like why is he giving a real shir? So then afterwards they come up to him and like why do you do that? Like you gave a real shir. He's like, that Yerushalmi and the Rambam don't exist. And it's brilliant. That was an old institution, the idea of the Purim Rav. Now, by the way, there have been a number of modern, in recent years, there's been a lot of very good Purim humor. My favorite stuff is actually produced by a number of guys in like the Gush area. So, for example, two years ago, there was a major thing going on in Israel was the idea of Hadarat Nashim, namely that women were being, that there was the whole issue of women being forced to sit at the back of a bus and women being spat at, whatever, and like a whole issue. Hadarat Nashim means like discrimination against women. That was like a big issue. So this person called Eli Shor wrote something spoofing Hatarat Nadarim to Hadarat Nashim. So he takes the nusach of the Hatarat Nadarim, what you say, so Shimon or Rabosai, etc. So he starts as follows: Shimon or Rabosai biryonim mumchim, which means biryonim is like wild people. Kol isha o katana o nara o bogeres o meinika o muberes o yeledes shiyosheves b'hokitz avashena b'rechev zu, namely any type of woman who sits in a car or in a bus. Shekilalti v'shemas hakadosh she'in mechokim va'afilu eishes monayach em shimshon v'chol shum isha va'afilu isha shelo asarati, etc. It goes through like all these things. That goes through the whole loshon. B'chulon ani mischore. It's like I regret that I sat near them. I'll call isha oikatana oynara begeret omenika omuberes oyeledes ezakein of isur chayru v'tina v'leiv v'inim sadadina mischore v'vaki shatar, etc. And then he's saying like I regret ever having sat there being women sat at the front of the bus. And they say to him, hakol yuhu mutorim loch, hakol penuim loch, hakol miyodim loch, ein kan lo isha v'lo nara v'lo nakeva avi yesh kan slidu v'chila v'adora ukashem sheyoshim b'yeshiva kodima kach teshevna noshim b'yeshiva achara. In the same way that you at the front, the winter at the back. It's an absolutely brilliant spoof. Another few different things that there were was, this is the final one, and then we'll talk a little bit actually about the Musa. There's actually some very important Musa that can be learned from all this. Is one of the most famous songs in Israeli culture is Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. And Elisha wrote a version 2 years ago of Yerushalayim Shel Zov. Namely, he goes through. He starts. So the stanza of Yerushalayim Shel Zahav is Yerushalayim Shel Zahav v'shel lechoshet v'shel or halal lechol shirayach ani kinar, Yerushalayim of gold and of bronze and of light. For all your songs, I'm like a violin for all your songs. That's based on Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. So he says Yerushalayim Shel Zahav shel tmei nefesh v'shel or. Hello, kol tumosayich hutru b'tzibur. And then he goes on, to do all the verse, like shalosh rov tzol kalov and sefer shiva eti. Whatever, he goes through like all the different hilchos tuma. Aviruk licheres sheba bayis samit posil herim matamit psar chalal kazayis eretzim kasarim. He like goes through all the different like halachas of zov. Through this song Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. Another one that he did is instead of there's the song Emes Ma Nedar we have on Yom Kippur, which is basically Emes Ma Nedar Hayakar En Gadol but Seis Mivetz Kotshar Kadashim Hashalom Beli Pega. Yeah, here it is. It's, which is basically saying how unbelievable it was when the Kohen Gadol left the base Kodshe, left Beis Kodshe HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur without being killed. So he was like very happy. So here it's proofs on that. It's Emes Maneh Dar Hayok Kohen Hediot, when the Kohen Hediot would go to check the house for Tzaraas, and it says he would leave the house and take all the Kelim with him to make sure it wouldn't come to me. Emes Maneh Dar Hayok Kohen Hediot, but Seisim and Beis Mufune Kelim, Shalom Beli Nega, how wonderful it was when there was no Nega, when there was no Tzaraas, and it goes through, again, all the different halachas of Tumah. Again, a brilliant, brilliant spoof. Another one is Anim Zumorot, he wrote, which was spoofing Anim Zumorot, but like writing a Purim version of it, basically saying how no one listens to Anim Zumorot, like as everyone said. Like, well, it's a very clever spoof, also said by Jonathan Sachs' introduction spoof, which is very, very good. Let's see if I've got it here. Maybe I have it. Give me one sec. No, I don't have it here. Maybe give me one sec. So there have been some very good recent stuff done. If people want to check it out, there's a great website, purim365.blogspot.com, has some great Purim stuff. Now, if anyone wants, I'll share them on Instagram afterwards. I wanted to talk a little bit about the kind of musa that is in this. Namely, this seems all a bit like whatever, like fun, nice, kind of. I think there's actually a very, very important lesson in it, which is the following. What you find funny and humorous is actually a very, very good indication of your preferences and your cultural milieu. Namely, if you, let's say for example, there are certain jokes that like people, like, let's say for example, like people who are really into maths like, and everyone else kind of like rolls their eyes like, oh come on, like seriously. Like, I think if you're really into maths, then like, oh, it's so funny that like he made a joke about like trigonometry and stuff. Like, whereas everyone else is like, seriously man, like whatever. Like, so it actually happens to be that the Purim Shpiel is actually a very, very good indication of where you are culturally. So for example, one of the articles I was reading about the history of the Purim Shpiel said there's always been kind of this tension, namely there were people, let's say the Chidor once saw one of these Purim Rav and he was like furious, like what are you doing? It's like a bitch in the Torah, like maybe Mavazeh Chazal, and like you're doing all these things like making fun of Rabbonim, etc. And the Chidor said that one of the this article suggests that one of the reasons why the Purim Shpiel and Purim in yeshivas was often accepted as a Purim Rav is because it was in the context of a yeshiva. A, you had kind of staff around, etc., to be able to calm things down, whatever. But it also it had a kind of spirit of Torah to it, which in a sense makes it better. Namely, that it's from a Torah perspective. Making jokes about Tosfos and stuff is kind of frum and kind of good. If it's not in the spirit of Bizet, then it actually is a kind of a good thing. And I think if you actually look at modern Purim schools today, like, let's say how Purim is celebrated in modern yeshivas and seminaries, I think it is actually a very, very good indication. Namely, if you look at the Purim schools we have here, how Purim is celebrated generally. For example, why is it that Purim schools are now videos rather than people acting? Because we're used to seeing comedy in videos rather than acting. The way we do Knots of the Purim Shpiel is based off, like, playing off, like, imitations of, I don't know, Seinfeld or sports or whatever, and, like, then giving it, like, a Torah spin to it. It's, like, kind of the tension that we have, in a sense, in our own lives between our yeshiva side and our worldly side kind of comes out very clearly in the Purim Shpiel. That you have, like, for example, every year, like, the Purim Shpiel will, like, spoof certain parts of a movie and then, like, just give it, like, a Torah version. So, for example, like, one of the great skits, like, a few years ago, like, Shua Brick, the Chavrusa breakup scene. It's, like, a great scene. They did in the Purim Shpiel, like, spoofing a Chavrusa breakup and, like, basically, based off, like, the classic scene you would see in, like, a romantic film, like, talking through all the things, like, oh, you can't leave me, like, what about this, and, like, what about our first CM, don't you remember? Like, whatever, like, all this stuff. It's absolutely brilliant. It's really brilliant. But again, it's all based off this kind of tension, and in a sense, it's very good because again, it's giving a Torah spirit to this side of our lives. But it's all based off this tension you have. By the way, sometimes, often you'll have like Purim Shpiels which really don't have much, which sometimes it kind of is the more worldly side of our lives come out. For example, like certain places where they have like color war for Purim, and it's like, I don't get, like, that doesn't seem to have like such a Purim side to it. But what you do on Purim is actually a very, very good reflection of your priorities, your cultural setup. Just by the way, another thing, this is like in England, United Synagogues, like a few years ago, like Stanmore had the Les Miserables instead of Les Miserables, the thing, Les Miserables, and like playing off, spoofing all the songs. Again, it's kind of that tension between the kind of more worldly side of our lives and the Torah side of our lives. I think that what I take out of these jokes, and these jokes, most of these jokes, the written yeshivas, the fake Purim, etc., that is all, so to speak, internally Jewish. Namely, it's not spoofing Gemaras and current events, it's not spoofing Gemaras and television, it's not spoofing Gemaras and anything, it's just spoofing Gemaras. And I think that that's it's actually a very, very good benchmark of where you are. Namely, on the one hand, we do believe in being worldly, and it's kind of understandable why we would have plays on sports and whatever in our spiels. Take one step back, great spiel like 2 years ago. Jeremy Schachter was like imitating, like doing an interview during like a basketball game, and was like doing all these like ghetto basketball names, but they're actually words in the Gemara. Like, yes, we got Kedetania playing over here. We got like whatever. He was like making it like as in like the Gemara words in the Gemara, like ghetto names. It was brilliant. I don't remember other examples, so it was very good. So it's understandable that we would have in modern Orthodox places that we would have this type of Purim humor, which is namely giving a Torah spin to worldly kind of humor, etc. However, I think it's a very, very important barometer of where you're up to, or it's a very, very good thing, I think, to be able to become so culturally Jewish that you're able to laugh just at a fake piyut or a fake Gemara, or something. It doesn't need to be like, oh, the Gemara spoofed Seinfeld, but actually, no, just a fake Gemara is just like, you're so culturally into Gemara, again, it doesn't have to be just Gemara, Gemara, piyut, Tanakh, whatever it is, but so culturally Jewish, that is what you find funny is a very good barometer of where you're up to that. And I think it is very important that as we have this more worldly side, that we actually can use Purim as a barometer for where we're up to in terms of being culturally Jewish. I remember, I'll just make two more points about this. I remember, first of all, one of the first things that hit me about Rav Hadari was how he was the first person I met who was very open-minded and relatively and quite worldly, who was also so incredibly culturally Jewish. Namely, he would just talk. He wasn't someone who would, like, he could only talk about Gemara. Namely, if you go to his house for Friday night meal for 2 hours, he'll just say stories and whatever. But he was so, on the one hand, worldly and interested and open to the world, yet culturally Jewish. Like, the jokes he makes are all, like, wordplays on Tanakh. To give you, like, one example. Like, I was at his house last year on Friday night. And his wife asked me, like, what shiur are you in now? And he's like, oh, no, he's been here for so long. Elu dvarim she'en lahem shiur. Like, just these kind of, like, jokes, these kind of world plays. Like, you need to be culturally, like, Jewish. Like, you need to be very... It's a sign of being so immersed in your Judaism that you find this stuff funny. And I remember that hitting me very strongly about Rav Hadari. And I think, just to conclude this point, I think just generally, Purim, the idea... The way I've heard this number of times from Tarragon, and I think it's a very true point, the idea potentially of what it means Yom Kippurim is like Purim, is that Yom Kippur is when you kind of set aside everything and you kind of refocus on your values, etc. Purim is in fact the time, because it's the most wild, / the most, again, Nichnas Yayin Yotzah Sod, it's the most kind of free, that's the one where you actually see the best where you actually are up to, namely where your priorities are, what's kind of who you are culturally, what you've grown into. Purim is actually a very good example of that, and these piece of Purim humor also like that. So I think it's actually a very valuable thing to every year look at Purim humor and see I would say it's one of the best signs of growth is if you look at Purim humor and find it funnier each year, there's actually a very good sign of growth. So I hope people enjoyed it. I hope people enjoy it more next year, and I hope people enjoy it more every single year to come. Purim Sameach.